Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Pran Govind Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam 5th Canto, 26th Chapter, Text 36 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji is now here. I would like to hand our call to Suresh Shyam Prabhuji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Suresh Shyam Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. All wish to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Happy Father's Day, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you, Mataji. A brief introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Pran Govind Prabhuji was born in Kamolia, Ampi Nagara in East Pakistan, and Prabhuji later shifted to Tripura, India. It was in 1971 when he saw Srila Prabhupada first time during a program. Prabhuji decided to become a devotee. In 1977, he visited Mayapur for the first time and was initiated by Bhavananda Maharaj in 1979. From 81 to 86, Prabhuji was working in Mayapur as a guest house manager. In 1986, during the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya, he served as the first general manager in Mayapur, managing the Gaur Purnima festival. 80 to 89, Prabhuji served as a facilitator of prasadam and accommodations for GBCs, sannyasis, devotees and life members. He also served as a life membership director and fundraiser for the Mayapur temple. In 1989, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj kindly took him with them to travel across Europe. They then brought him to America, where His Holiness Badrinarayan Maharaj and His Holiness Mukunda Goswami, who knew him from Mayapur, engaged him in cultivating congregational services in San Diego, California. Prabhuji took to Vanaprastha in 2012. For many years, he has been serving the devotee community in Alachua, and every day Prabhuji travels across various parts of America preaching the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Back to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Nice introduction. Hare Krishna, Pran Govind Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All greetings to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Happy Father's Day, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Nice to see you all. First of all, I'd like to welcome all of you, Prabhus and mothers. Please accept my humble obeisances. Panchakalpatra Vishikipasanda Vichapatitanam Pavani Bhavishamibhonam. Will you be able to share the song I was going to sing? Will that be possible?
Yes, Prabhuji. Vinita Mataji, Kalushi.
Yes, Mataji, sharing. Give me a second, Mataji. Yes. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, Prabhu.
Ajahu re mana sri nandanandanaya bhaya charanara bindare bhajahu re mana sri nandanandanaya bhaya charanara bindare durlabha manava Janam sat sange durlabha manava janam sat sange tarahaye bhava sindure tarahaye bhava sindure abhaya charanaravindare abhaya charanaravindare Sita yatapa bata barishana edina jamini jagire Sita yatapa Bata-barishana edina jamini jagire Bifaleshe binu kripanadura jana Bifaleshe binu kripanadura jana Chapala sukha lavalagire Chapala sukha lavalagire Idana jaubana putra parijana Ite ki ache parati tire Idana jaubana putra parijana Ite ki ache parati tire Kamala dala jala Jeevana tala mala Kamala dala jala Jeevana tala mala Vajahu hari padani tire Vajahu hari padani tire Savana ketana smarana bandana Pada sevana dasare Savana ketana smarana bandana Pada sevana dasare Pujana sakhi jana Atmani vedana Pujana sakhi jana Atmani vedana Govinda dasa bilasare Govinda dasa bilasare Bhajahure mana se nanda nandana Abhaya charana ravindare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Gurudev, Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bo. Mother, would you like to read the translation? Maybe you can share amongst.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Sure.
One, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless, having obtained this rare human birth. Cross over this ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Hare Krishna.
Second, both in the day and at the night, I remain sleepless, suffering the pains of the heat and cold, the wind and the rain, for for a fraction of flickering happiness, I have uselessly served wicked and misery men.
What issues of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. Thank you.
Is the desire the and create longing of Govinda Dasa to engage himself in nine process of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Lord Hari and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers to him, serving the lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with the flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend and completely offering the Lord one's very self.
Very good. Thank you. That was very wonderful. So I'm very grateful to be here with you, all of you. I would request you can fold your hand and to purify our heart and our consciousness, we evoke the mercy of Lord Krishna in the form of Vasudeva. So please repeat after me three times and then follow up the mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Narancaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayesu Abhadresu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Mukam Karati Bachalam Pangulangayati Girim Jat Kripatam Ham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Isharam Paramananda Madhavam. So, Prabhuji and Mothers, we are serving today 5th canto, entitled by Srila Prabhupada, The Description of the Hellish Planet, text 36, which describe a place known as Suchi Mukha Naraka. So let us begin. This is a prose. We'll see. 37 or 36, Mother?
Prabhuji, what verse you got, Prabhu? It's up in the poster, it says 37. I don't know. Whatever you.
Oh, really? Because Mother Shemagori said 36. Let me see. Is that what it says? She said 5:26:36. I could be wrong. I mean, that's what I'm reading it again.
Okay, Prabhuji, go to 36 then.
Okay, sorry, I just didn't know. That's what she said, 5:26:36. Okay. And I like to also thank to Mother Shyamagauri Devidasi to always inspire me to serve. 36. Jasto eva va adda abhimati ahankrita tirjak prakshadah sarvatah avivishanki Arthaveya nasa chinta chintaya parisuyamana ridaya vadanaha nibritim anvagataha grahaiva artham avishkati sacha api pritta tat Utpadana, Utkarshana, Samskriyashanaha, Shamala Graha, Suchi muke narake nipatati jatraha vittagraham papa purusham dharmaraja purusha bayaka eva sarvatah angesu sutre parivayanti. Would somebody like to read this? I'm still wondering for years if there is a meter of reciting the prose. I would like to be interested to the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One who in this world or this life is very proud of his wealth, always thinks, I am so rich. Who can equal me? His vision is twisted. He's always afraid that someone will take this wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth. And therefore, he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness. And he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchi Mukha, where the official of Jamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. Krishna, Krishna. Purport. Would somebody like to read the purport for all of us so I can hear and see it? Any volunteer?
Hello? Can I read?
Can I read?
When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches. But only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions, a Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination or simply accumulate it for no purpose, because in this age, there is no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. Almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false positions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. So first of all, we are on the fifth canto. Today is the last description of 28 hell. Well, there are thousands of hellish places. Can someone help me? Is Krishna the best organizer? Do you agree, or you think we don't know why he created all this punishment and all this? Is this necessary? Why can't we just go back home and fell and be with him in love, and we don't need all this correction or challenges? So I want to know, what is your idea of Krishna as the organizer before I begin?
Prabhuji, Krishna is the organizer. He knows that when this material world is created, there will be some people making mistakes. So, like the jail is made, this is also a jail, Durg. So, that's why these hellish planets are made. In case they do punishment, they should go for atonement. They must go and realize they've done a mistake. That's why these hellish planets are made. That's what my understanding, Prabhuji.
Good. 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 Okay. Any other? Does Krishna have a purpose why he created this hell? Sukhakar Prabhu explained. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mother Gauranga.
Yeah, I'm thinking something like, well, Krishna, out of his love for us, does not want to encourage us to stay here. He wants to discourage us from staying here. And so if he makes this place uncomfortable, you know, maybe we will be inspired to use our free will to try and find out if there is a higher standard of happiness. If he doesn't provide these discomforts, you know, maybe we wouldn't be inspired to do what is in our best interest.
Mm.
Thinking something like that.
Would you say, I'm not saying you say that, would you say if you don't like the guests staying with you, make one meal instead of three meals a day, and after some time the guest will feel very hungry and uncomfortable and will leave? Or cook something with too much salt or not eatable. You give some punishment such a way that the guest leaves automatically.
Well, maybe. I wouldn't do anything to encourage them to stay, that's for sure.
Okay. I'm just trying to find out what is the purpose behind this creation. Krishna is the best organizer. Are we saying in a sense, like Prahladananda Maharaj made a very nice point. He said, I wrote a letter to Prabhupada and I sent him some donation and I told him why I'm sending this donation. And Prabhupada replied, such a nice way. He said, it is easy to say, I love you, Krishna. I love you, Prabhupada. But you don't say why you love. And if you cannot explain why you love, is this really genuine love? That's a nice way Prabhupada put it. So we all come to Bhagavatam. We all practice everyday sadhana. For what? You can say, well, we want to develop love for Krishna. Well, Krishna also has the interest to know why and how you're going to develop and what are you doing to develop that. It is not that we are alone. The moment we came to ISKCON, took Prabhupada's shelter, Krishna also has an interest. So my question is, are you prepared? Are you asking this question? How am I trying to please Krishna? Because Krishna has interest. I was very surprised to see the way Prabhupada wrote the letter to him, that Krishna is also interested to know how the soul wants to come back. I'm not accusing anybody, but if I think I can cheat the process, just go in spiritual domain, sneaky way or tricky way, it's not possible. Because it is not the spiritual world, it is Krishna who is behind everything. And he knows also now that we are discussing this. And we are discussing how we are developing love for Krishna. Now, by the time another 4 more cantos, each of you are going to be liberated. Are you familiar? At least minimum, Prabhupada says. By 9th canto, you are liberated. And then 10th canto, you enter into this realm of Krishna. Not anymore identity, but his activities, pastimes. And then you move further for his personality, mentality. And I hope all you are qualified. I'm just saying this just to purify my own heart. Also, I reflect. So I created this small PowerPoint just before beginning the Bhagavatam today for a few minutes. Bear with me if I can share it. Yeah, I have it too. One is for the wealth and one is for... Is this visible to everyone?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. I'm sorry, don't ask why you put question mark on the why instead of end of Bhagavatam. I just play with it. It's okay. Just to show that I'm from village. I would like somebody to... Because we are doing this everyday Bhagavatam. So please help me, someone, to read this sloka. So sweet sloka. I recite this when I drive anywhere. You can recite this. The result of reciting Bhagavatam. Please, someone.
Dharma projita kaitavo atra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivatam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kim Va Pare Ishwaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudyate Atrakatibihi Shushubis Tatrakshanat Tatshanat.
Very nice. Another person with the translation, no need synonyms.
Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, in his maturity is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart.
Very good. Thank you, Prabhu.
At your service, Prabhu. At your service.
Now, would you like to say what you just read, or at least some key points that what we are going to get benefit from hearing the Bhagavatam every day? Anyone? We all heard it.
This Bhagavatam, read every, when you read every day, it will take order from the three tapatrayas, that is Adibhautik, Adidevik, and Adhyatmik, and it will make it transcendental to go beyond Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, and establish the pure transcendental service for Krishna, with which we will get eligible to go back to the kingdom of God.
Good. There is no need to read any other books. This is enough. Very good. Thank you. Someone else to read these two, please?
Tatasya Pricham Imam Vipriche Vishambhya Vishabhya Kritya Kritya Tayam Sarvatmana Mriyamanas Mriyamanis Cha Krityam Shuddham Cha Tatram Tatram Mrishyatam Vini. In the word, so I cannot know the last word. Translation: O trustworthy Brahmins, I now ask you about my immediate duty. After proper deliberation, tell me the honorable devotee of everyone. What duty, O honorable devotee, duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.24.
Very nice question, isn't it, Mother?
Yes.
Most important question. Okay, next one, can you read that one? King Parikshit inquired. This from Ishopanishad.
Should I read?
You can go ahead, please.
Okay, King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva, because Sukadeva was a greater spiritual master than any greater transcendentalist of his time. Maharaj Parikshit's main question was, what is the duty of every man, especially about to die? Sukadeva Goswami answered, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Vayam Vayam. O descendant of King Pala, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme soul, super soul, and controller, and the savior from all miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.5.
Very good. Now, everybody wants to be delivered from this world. What is Krishna's purpose as an organizer? What is his purpose? How he is going to deliver? How did he plan? This is the strategic plan. Means where you are, where you want to go, and how you going to go. So Krishna revealed this in 11th canto. I would like someone else who didn't read yet, you can read this. This is our focus point, that there is no other way. This is how Krishna wants each soul to get out of the material world to the spiritual world. Please, someone volunteer who didn't read yet.
హరే కృష్ణ ప్రభు దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. నిరపక్షం మునిం సంతం నిర్భైరం సమదర్శనం అనువ్రజామి అహం నిత్యం పొయ్యేతి అంఘ్రి రేణుభిః. Translation: with the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material world which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all the personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful without any feeling of enmity and of equal disposition everywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.16. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Mata, you just read, what was the key point? How he's going to deliver?
Pure devotee. By the blessings of a pure devotee, we can register. Yes.
Very good. And the quality of pure devotee is given. So my question is, where are you after hearing this? How is our, is Krishna everywhere? The whole material creation you just read is within him, he just said. So how we are disconnected or reconnect with him? How? Through the consciousness. Prabhupada says, through the consciousness. There is no other route. Through the consciousness, you are connected wherever you want to be connected. If you want to connect sense enjoyment, physical level, subtle level, soul level, or Buddhism or Mayavadism, they promote of this Sushupti, you can go also there. You don't have to do anything. You can feel like forever dead. Of course, I don't know how they prove that there is happiness. If everybody feel like they're lost, dead, how you feel? Or you can choose through your consciousness to go to the spiritual world, which is called Turja, fourth dimension. These are the practical things we need to do. Someone please help me with reading this quick.
Lady?
Yes.
Increase Harikatha and demonstrate understanding. Second point, study sadhana, mentoring and accountability, Vaishnava etiquettes, observation and feedback, cultivating a relationship with Krishna through his devotees. Hare Krishna, Dandavatana.
What was the last point? Do you remember?
Krishna will ask us to become capable to deliver through the devotees.
Built a relationship with Krishna through a devotee.
Through a devotee.
Yes. More we respect and appreciate other devotee, our connection with Krishna will be more closer. Because maybe all of you are Mahabhagavat, could be, but I am a fallen soul. I see the tendency is that I want to be with Krishna by myself. It's kind of some hallucination, selfish desire is there. But it is not Goshtanandi idea. Goshtanandi idea is we want to be in Krishna's family with the whole Brajavasi, everybody together. And that relationship, actually Krishna reciprocates very intimately with each person. And this is very necessary. Just like even the gopis, when they are dancing with Krishna, or the coward boys playing with Krishna, Krishna gives to each boy or each girl completely. Same time, they also feel guilty that he's giving me so much attention. I want it, but I also feel like others should have that association. But Krishna gives each person like this. So Prabhupada says in an organization like ISKCON, we have to respect the devotees, and through the loving relationship with the devotees, we come closer to Krishna faster than if you just go in a hiding closet with chanting Japa Mala. It is necessary that when we chant, we should be attentive and serve the holy name. But our relationship through Guru, through Vaishnava, through associates. Okay, someone else, please. Can someone read this? Help me with that.
I'm the same person. Shall I go ahead?
Okay, go ahead.
Example of one-on-one consultation with the congregational members. Strengths. What are the devotees' observed strength and limitations? What are the devotees' perceived strength and limitations? Can they identify ways in which they utilize these strengths? How can the temple utilize these strengths? Needs.
In other words, how you engage your day to day, these are the reflection. And the more you reflect, you will be well situated. Okay, on the right side.
What services you can perform? How would you rate your proficiency of your services? Do the devotee have any special skills or talents? How can the temple dovetail these skills and talents for the pleasure of Krishna?
Okay. And the needs?
Needs. What are the devotee's needs, observed and perceived? What questions do you have at this point about Krishna consciousness? On a scale of 1 to 10, not at all extreme confident, how confident do you feel about giving a class? What is the level of the devotee's shastric comprehension?
Very good. See, how many devotees we have? 36. If I immediately ask someone I never met, excuse me, mother, today class you're going to give. You never prepared or anything. How would you feel? Prabhupada says advancement means you should prepare to give class, prepare to speak. Also, if they ask, you should be instantly ready to glorify Guru and Krishna. Now, if you ask yourself, didn't I come to this group, Bhakti Japa Sangha group, to actually hear about glory and also glorify myself, glorify Krishna? Yes. Then why are you ready at this moment to speak? We want to hear 1 hour glory. Yes, this is required. These are the real checkpoint from Prabhupada's lecture. I got this. These are very important. Okay, please read the right side.
What are you most enlivened by in the spiritual life? Kirtan, food, philosophy, archana, Vaishnav seva, decorating, painting, sewing, book distribution, etc. What is the service skill you want to learn or develop? Whose service do you appreciate? Why? What has encouraged you to maintain connection with this temple?
Very good. These are the reflection. We should do this at least once a week or once a month to substantially you can feel the advancement in your life. Now my question is, are you reflecting? If you do, then you need to prepare with 3 components with you to be in Bhakti Japa Sangha group. No, I cannot demand that, but I'm requesting that. Then you'll get 100% benefit. Because they are doing such a wonderful service. Japa, I hear their everyday classes. Take advantage and get 100% benefit. Not $10 an hour, $100 an hour, $1,000 an hour.
Why working for $10? If you don't have these three things, you get $10 an hour. And if you have these three components, then you get $100 an hour. So I would like somebody else who did not read, please read this verse. This is from Bhagavatam.
Can I read, Prabhu?
Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Shrinvatam svakatam Krishna granantascha sva chestit kalena nati digrena Bhagavan vishate hridi. So, Shraddaya, read with.
Prabhu, maybe you can read. Prabhu, you can read the translation first and then come to that. I'm sorry, I put it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The translation, Prabhu. So, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time.
Very good. Would you like Krishna to manifest in your heart today?
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Prabhu,
this
one
is
question.
A good answer. You don't need to think. You just say yes. Thank you. Yes. I like that. Thank
but
you.
But Krishna is always there. Krishna is already there, right? Prabhu, what do you mean by manifest again? Like Krishna, we say Krishna is there as Paramatma in the heart again. So this question I always have, Prabhu. What do you mean by manifest again?
Very nice question. What is the difference between merciful form versus justice? Justice means you deserve, he will sanction what you deserve. I did something wrong, I'll get punished. Say, judge will say, Pran Govinda Das did this criminal activity, he will be prisoned for 50 years. Just also can hear, oh no, he is actually a nice guy and so many people came forward to write letter to judge. And said, actually, he does a lot of food for life. He uplifts consciousness of others. And he does. And judge comes and said, okay, 50 years jail now, 5 days. How would I feel? Tell me.
Blissful, Prabhu.
So there is a two form. Mm. The judge with the 50 years is super soul. Mm. Judge with the 5 years is Bhagavan who cares for me. A big difference. It's a short way to look at it.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So you need three components. You please read those three components. See if we have it with us right now in order to get 100% Bhagavan.
Shraddha, first component. Read with faith, Shraddha. Faith comes from sadhu, sangha and willingness. Three Shraddha, prati, bhakti, anukramis. Right. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 25 verse, plus Bhagavad Gita, 7:21. Mm. Nityam, read Bhagavatam regularly, daily. Grinantasya, read with rapt attention, 1.3.44. Secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Isn't so sweet? This is what Prabhupada gave. He said, actually, you can see Krishna in the Bhagavatam. So I asked myself that question, why can't I see? Well, I have to prepare with these three things. And obviously, there's two things required before anything manifests in spiritual dimension. Is the intention and action. So we have to do both. What is our mentality, intention? We have to be equipped with the faith and our lifestyle. You may say lifestyle can be horrible, but can't I see Bhagavatam? No. Not possible in this Kali Yuga age. You have to regulate. You have to restrain. It is not possible. Mind will be automatically captured without regulation. Not possible. Other ages, maybe. They have a long time, so they could do later. But in Kali Yuga, it is not possible. Life has to be regulated, devoted with faith, and you will see Bhagavan in your life right now. Okay, with that note, I made a little PowerPoint presentation for today's related, how the wealth should be seen in our life. So this question came, Dhruva Maharaj had the material desire and he started a spiritual journey with a selfish motive. How did he attain Vaikuntha, the abode of selflessness? Why I brought that question? Because some of you, or maybe myself at least, I was thinking, if you would ask me 30 years back, well, can you have a selflessness right now? No. I wanted something from this world. I wanted to make money. I wanted to get married. I wanted to enjoy life. Yes, I want to be a devotee also, but side by side. Now it's changed. I see why it's changed, because it's endeavor and his mercy together. But my point is that Dhruva Maharaj also started in Bhagavatam. We read many examples. I just pick one. And we see this, that we can prepare ourselves if we act in that way. So how to understand that Dhruva Maharaj started with material desire and he became selflessness? Would somebody like to give some light on this? Anyone?
Hare Krishna. Hari Bol Prabhu. Dhanyavad Pranam. All glories to your wonderful devotional service. Jai. Dhruva Maharaj, Hari Bol, you know, he was just a young boy. And he wanted attention from his father, you know, and he wasn't getting it. And that made him so very unhappy. He just wanted a little bit of love and affection from his dad. So he got so upset that he just left home. He was 5 years old. How do you leave home at 5 years old into a forest, a jungle, lions, tigers, and bears? Jai, you know? And that was the motivation. He wanted to have, you know, the affection and love of his father. And he left home for that reason. That was the reason. That was the, I guess, is that material? Would that be a material thing, you know, the affection and love? Hari Bol.
In one sense, if you are looking from wrong person, then yes. Mm-hmm. From a right person, it can be also good. But ultimately, our real affection, love, and everything has to come from a devotee and Krishna, from our
Jai.
Not mundane relationship. That's a one thing. Also, he had a desire in a challenging way. He wanted to show his dad that he can have a bigger kingdom than his father.
Mm-hmm. So that was his.
Thank you, mother. Motivation. That's a very good point. So I would like to just say a few more words that, yes, there is some starting impetus, whatever it is. If any one of you have a desire for enjoyment, don't suppress. Bhagavatam does not tell us to suppress. Bhagavan tells us to purify. And there's an art to purify that desire, whatever it is, for money, prestige, whatever it is. Prabhupada said, if somebody likes to just talk, he should dive into Bhagavatam. He will be, Krishna will bless him, and he will become purified, and he will keep on speaking. Whatever desire you have, so the starting impetus, whatever it is, initially we start with Jena Kena Prakarena Mano Krishna Niveshaya. This is Rupa Goswami Pad's definition of pure bhakti. By any means, somehow or other, one must associate with Lord Krishna. That is the point. Whether it's akama, sarva kama, va moksha kama, udarodi. A person who has a broader intelligent, whether he is full of material desire or without any material desire, desiring for liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. This is the point. Even he got so many diversion, even Narad Muni, his guru, was trying to distract him. Come on, this 5 years old is a time to play with the toys and other boys, not for austerity and seeing God. But Dhruva Maharaj had such a determination, we can learn from that, that no, he would not. But does God deprive us if we practice seriously Krishna consciousness, but I have a desire to enjoy a girl or a money or something? Now, if I become serious, will I get deprived, like I'll forget that enjoyment? I still want it? No. Krishna fulfilled Dhruva Maharaj's desire, but Dhruva Maharaj changed and found guilty himself. Why did I desire for bigger kingdom? I do not want anything but the Lord, because Lord is the abode of everything. So this is a very nice example that Dhruva Maharaj came with that. Can someone help me with the reading this one, please?
Was Ravana or Duryodhana a bad leader? Bhagavatam and Purana Itihasa tells us that there are many kings like Ravana.
You have to unmute, Prabhu.
Bhagavatam and Purana Itihasa tells us that there are many kings like Ravana who are exhibiting affectionate care and protection to their citizens. Yet, our acharyas don't give any spiritual credit to them.
Very good.
Thank you.
Even Yudhishthira Maharaj, while he was lamenting, it's in Bhagavatam, that Duryodhana was not a bad king. Neither Ravana was a bad king. Ravana had affection for his citizen. Duryodhana had affection for the citizen. He cared for them. Even he wanted the citizen to go to heaven, Ravana wanted, just by climbing on the steps or ladder. But some or other, he failed to build that staircase. He never did. And as a result, they never went to the heaven. But the point is, so-called affection, so-called protection, so-called care for the body does not satisfy the soul. We have to understand that point. Bodily protection, bodily satisfaction, bodily needs. Yes, it is required while we are in this material world, but it should be minimized. It should be regulated. Otherwise, spiritual practice cannot be done. Yes, Ravana was a good king, but he could not even protect himself. At the end, he proved it. Because we are spirit soul. See, the next question is similarly I made. Can you explain how Yudhishthira is better than Duryodhana? You know, we are opening a man's ashram in Alachua, Florida. So it's a halfway now construction. Very exciting that we want to train, invite the young boys and girls, Western body or Indian, whatever, Americans, they can come and get training. So I was taking some lesson from different Maharajas who actually opened during Prabhupada's time, men's ashram. And there's a one Swami, Danavir Maharaj, he's still alive. And he was, he gave me a very interesting point that I'll share with you. That Maharaj says that he was running a men's ashram in Los Angeles during Prabhupada's period. And he said that anybody comes to join, can you start seeing him is better than you? That's a very big challenge. Believe me, mothers and brothers. It's not easy. Easy to say, but can I really see it? Like, for an example, when Dharumir Maharaj, he was a brahmachari that time, he was in charge of the men's ashram. One impersonalist Western body, a sannyasi, came there because they saw the Hare Krishnas are going around. And he paid respect. And then this Western body sannyasi said, why are you paying me respect? He said, because you have a robes of sannyas. And our guru, teacher, Prabhupada, taught us to respect. And you are seeking spiritual life. Of course, at that time, he didn't know that he was practicing impersonalism. But because of this humble, respectful attitude expressed by Anubir Maharaj, that man immediately joined. And he joined, and then he's now sannyasi. His name is Amal Bhakta Swami in Los Angeles, till now. Because of this natural respect, he became a devotee. So then question comes, where this idea coming from that we have to respect others? This coming from Yudhishthir Maharaj, not from Duryodhana. Why? Because Dronacharya, I'm sure you all heard that story. There are few facets, but I'll focus only on one facet, where Dronacharya sent Yudhishthir Maharaj to search far and wide, see if a person is more lower or inferior than him. And he sent Duryodhana also far and wide all over the world to look if somebody is superior to him. And they traveled and came back. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he said, on the way he saw a person hurting a cow. He thought, okay, this man may be inferior than me. So he went nearby and he was spying from far. Then he noticed that, but he was following Ekadashi and his wife was cooking Ekadashi food for that day, even though he was doing some sinful activities. Then he said, no, he cannot be lower. That's the only confrontation he had. So when he came, Guru Dronacharya asked him, did you see anybody lower than you? He said, no. Everybody belongs to Krishna. They are all superior to me. They carry God in their heart. So then immediately Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya says, he is fit to be the king. The war, we don't need war. We should declare him. They came to that conclusion. This is before the war. And when Duryodhana came, they asked the same question. Did you see, opposite question, did you see anybody superior to you? He said, absolutely no. Not even one person. Said, no, everybody is lower than me. He said, he should be thrown in a place where jackals should eat his body. He's not fit for a human even. Now, he was a affectionate, compassionate, you can say, to the citizen. But for who? For what purpose? What was his mentality? For his own selfish sense enjoyment. That I'm the king, everybody likes me. Okay, I'm going to be good to them. So material compassion, material good quality, not necessarily good quality at all, unless it is adapted for to please Krishna. Okay. There's another question. Can someone read this one? Let's see.
I have time? Oh, Krishna, I'm going so
slow. I will read, Prabhuji. Why does Bhishma say that he is bound by the Kaurava's wealth?
Yes. Well, you all know that. First canto, 9th chapter. We are on 5th canto. First canto, 9th chapter explains that. Bhishma Dev is a Mahabhagavata. He's a pure devotee, Mahajan. Even though he joined in opposite direction, you can say against Krishna, against pure devotee Pandavas, but he himself is also pure devotee. For two reasons. One was external, one was internal. And in external view, I put into one. External view, like one is Bhishma Dev sworn an oath in front of his father to protect the throne, in front of his mother Satyavati's father. You know the whole story, how he said, oh, I cannot give my daughter to King Santanu. He said, why not? He said, because I want her child to be the future king. He said, okay, he will be the future king. He said, no, you will become the king. He said, no, I take an oath, I will not become the king. Oh, you may not become the king, but what about your son? He said, then I take an oath, I'll never get married. Oh, that's a very heavy. That's why his name is Bhisham, means very. We say Bhishma, but Bhisham means very powerful oath that he took that he will not get married because he is the perfect man to rule this kingdom. So in one sense, it is his kingdom, but he allowed, he took oath and he allowed them to rule. So that is to protect. So he stayed and he joined on the other side. And also they say, whoever maintains your body, you get contaminated by that person's. If that person is sinful, you will share some part of that sin. If that person is nice, you will also get nice, whatever it is. So Bhishma Dev actually told when Draupadi was laughing, I'm just jumping to the past time, that in the assembly of a great saint in front of Krishna, the women generally very respectful. They don't laugh like outburst, but Draupadi was doing that. And Bhishma Dev stopped everything. He was on the arrow bed and he asked, there must be something that she has to say, that I have done something wrong. Let her speak. So Draupadi asked, how come you are giving such a wonderful Niti Shastra, the law codes, what is the duty for each Varna Ashram and king's duty, ruler's duty, Nari Dharma, family Dharma, all these Dharma. When they were trying to disrobe me, where your dharma? So Bhishma Dev revealed that. Said, yes, I was eating the food of Pandavas. And my blood was contaminated. I hope you understand. This is not a metaphor. When you eat prasadam, the food still act in the material world, in this body, produce blood. And blood carries the consciousness all over your body. It is important that food is always pure, what we consume or put in the body. If the blood carrying the consciousness and consciousness is not good, you will suffer. And when your blood is pure, you are spiritualizing the body by the food you offer, prasadam, and your consciousness directing towards Krishna, you are pure devotee, right here in this body. So Bhishma Dev established very nice point. Now internal, of course, he had a few others. Also, another point now I remember Prabhupada mentioned that vice never win over virtue. To prove that, Krishna asked Bhishma Dev to be on the wrong side. Of course, internal reason is Krishna also wanted to prove that his devotee, in any circumstances, any position, he can speak, glorify Krishna. Even each of any one of us ever put into a place where we are threatened or we are facing a struggle, ask yourself, will you question why Krishna put me this kind of struggle? Will you maintain resentment against Krishna? Bhishma Dev never did that. Another point also Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned internal. Just to prove this, Krishna put Bhishma Dev on the wrong side, just to show that always Bhishma Dev saw Krishna is the cure for his life. Any problem he had, he always saw Krishna as the cure, not a problem. But did Duryodhan see it? No. He saw completely opposite. He wanted to kill Krishna. That was the biggest trouble. Now, nowadays, in our world, in the internet, Facebook, people sell their picture, people sell their body for earning money, or whatever reason. Bhagavatam also teaches us that how Pingala acted as a guru, one of the 24 gurus. When we come to 11th canto, we'll read those 24 gurus. Those things in the world that demonstrate life's truth can also be considered to be gurus, for they reiterate and reinforce the guru's teachings. The Bhikshu Gita, that when you come to 11th canto, I'm sure some of you are familiar with this, uses the word guru in the nuanced and expanded sense. So prostitute frustration, here Pingala, but we see anything you see in this world, anything, whether it's good or bad, everything is in Bhagavatam, give the teaching lessons for us. That she was expressing, Pingala's story, what would be a prostitute typical daily, more precisely nightly routine, as the evening sets in, Pingala dresses, decorates herself, just for money, wealth, money. Today's subject is about that people goes to hell because their obsession on the money. Well, more or less, some aspect, many soul when they come to ISKCON, in the beginning stage, they do have the same problem. It's not like all of a sudden disappear. No, maybe possible, maybe very rare, but it is possible. So at the conclusion of Pingala's song, she came to this conclusion, it's all useless spending time to earn money through this body, sense enjoyment. Rather should devote to Krishna. There's another. Can someone help me with that reading, please? Let's see how much time we have.
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Hare Krishna. Why does Ambarish consider Maharaj consider his wealth to be material when he knows that it can be used in Krishna's service? Bhagavatam 9th canto, 4th chapter, 569th verse.
Now, if you think anything that will take you away from Krishna, in a shorter version, I'm just saying, because it's a big pastime. Anything will take you away from bhakti or Krishna, stay away from that. If Krishna is taking many things from your life, like Prabhupada, lost his pharmaceutical drug business. He lost his no credit or what do you call, he used to sell medicine on the credit and they would not pay. I mean, there's a whole story one by one, but Prabhupada came, he said that every time something bad happening, I'm thinking like, am I going towards Krishna or it is disturbing me, taking me away from Krishna? This is such a nice introspective way to reflect our position. Where am I? That was the question I started beginning. So Prabhupada said, anything takes me away from Krishna, I don't want to go there. And anything takes to Krishna, I will go there. So when we talk about Jukta Vairagya, is based on that. Now there's another question I made. Can someone read that one too?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. By simply attempting to realize God, one is guaranteed birth in a wealthy or aristocratic family.
Okay. In a simple way to say, actually those souls are not planning to be born in wealthy family. Krishna put them, not that they are desiring. Now, when they put them in Krishna, in wealthy family, they progress further, not that they go down. It is not the money. I hope today's purport, if you read that, it is not the money is evil, like majority religious people in this country, they think money is the evil. This is like a common thing in America, they say, amongst some group, money is evil. No, we don't believe that. Neither are scriptures ever support that. So just like for an example, Ambarish Prabhu, he was born in one of the richest American family, Henry Ford's grandson. And I tell you, very interesting, maybe I should not say it, but one of his daughter inherited $1 million recently. And his wife sent me a text and she was so nice. She said, you know, my daughter got inherited $1 million because she graduated from Harvard. With a very special, she's a very bright devotee. She's so devoted. She immediately sent the money to Mayapur, entire thing. What about her future? She's young, but she's so devoted. You can see those souls are not ordinary. Yes, they get rich, but they kept on serving. They're not thinking of their enjoyment in life so much. But that doesn't mean if you work hard, I'm not saying you should give it away everything. No, you have to utilize it. The purpose is utilization. Utilization. We are not romanticizing the world or demonizing the world. We are utilizing the world. We have to serve Krishna, love Krishna. How? In the world. Through the world. With the world. If you really think very deeply, what do you have? You have the worldly body. So you have to be in this body to get the result of the sadhana. So in the world, you serve with this body, with this mind. But what can you get around? It's all the material elements, fruits, flour, rice, whatever you're going to serve. So through the world, with the world, and in the world, it will be very safer. Okay, time-wise, we're going to go. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, I'm going to just wrap it up because it's quick. Can someone help me with this reading, please?
Advaita Acharya, who is Supreme Lord, has a doubt. Would you help pay for it?
Mataji, would you like to help? Advaita Acharya is a god, but he also has a debt. Not much, 300 rupees at that time. I mean, 500 years back. Anybody would like to help Advaita Acharya?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhu.
That's it. 2 persons out of 32 present. Only 2 will help.
Prabhu, all will help, Prabhu.
All will help. Telling,
yeah.
We will help, Prabhuji.
He's the Supreme Lord.
Oh, now I feel bad because if I say you all are wrong, how am I going to say it? You know, Prabhupada was angry. You read the purport, Prabhupada was angry. You cannot say Krishna is God, but he has a debt. Can you put this together? Mahaprabhu, some or other, the letter did not go to king. It was from Kamalakanta Bishwas. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read the story. Some or other, the letter, instead of reaching to King Pratapudra, it went to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya got angry. Please, someone help me reading this. Oh, this is the same, right? Yeah. Okay, I'll just tell you the story, what happened. This is very funny. I know you all have a good heart, but try to see why Prabhupada was angry and Lord Chaitanya was angry. The note established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also mentioned Advaita Acharya had a debt of about 300 rupees. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord Chaitanya became very unhappy, Prabhupada writes, and angry. He smiled. He said, he has made incarnation of God as a poverty-stricken beggar. Poverty-stricken beggar. In Bengal, none of you ever saw it. In India, they say, Daridra Narayan. This is a bogus idea. Narayan is not Daridra, is not a beggar, is not a poverty-stricken. Narayan is Supreme Lord. The Lord ordered Govinda, from today on, do not allow Kamalakanta Bishwas to come here after this incident. Now when Kamalakanta Bishwas heard this punishment, he became unhappy. But Advaita Acharya was very greatly pleased. Can someone help me why Advaita Acharya was pleased and Lord Chaitanya was not pleased? And Kamalakanta Bishwas was not happy. What do you think? Unless you know the pastime already.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, where yes. Can we find the pastime? I've not read that pastime.
Okay. I'll tell you, but I'm just asking why Kamalakanta Bishwas was depressed. Advaita Acharya, who heard it, he was happy to hear that Kamalakanta Bishwas got punishment. I mean, if you hear somebody went in jail, will you be happy? No. Maybe it depends what is behind it. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became unhappy. But then Advaita Acharya, when he heard it, he was very happy. Why? Because punishment can be done. Discipline can be done by a person who cares for the other person. I may have ignorance, misunderstanding about something. If somebody correct me, that person cares for me. Because he had a wrong conclusion that Advaita Acharya is Supreme Lord, that's true. But he made him poverty-stricken Supreme Lord. What kind of understanding is that? Is that proper Siddhanta? Someone help me, please. No, this is bogus. We cannot say somebody is Supreme God, but he needs 300 rupees because he has a debt. God does not have a debt. This is a wrong Siddhanta. So when someone corrects it, seeing this, Advaita Acharya was very happy. Mahaprabhu did this with many others. This is a long story. I'm just going in a short, very quick. because of the time. I'm going to jump to Lord Shiva Sanatan Goswami Pad. You all know that story. I'm sure all of you heard that story, how a poor Brahmana was directed to go to Sanatan Goswami Pad by Lord Shiva's direction, and he got the touchstone. And then what happened? Someone can help me. What happened to that Brahmana who got the touchstone? Touches anything, turns into gold. Was he happy?
No, he was not happy.
Why?
Because he came to know in the end there is something greater than this one, because his wife gives that intelligence, oh, there is something more. So then he goes back and he comes to know that there is the Mahamantra.
Very good. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
This was kept in the dustbin. It was kept in the dustbin. No, Maharaj, this was kept in the dustbin. So he told, if the touchstone is the dustbin, that means something great is having you with him. That's why he came again to find out what is that you have better than this. Like that.
Yes.
He was asking.
Good logic. Can I add? Very good logic. Yes.
He thought that there must be something greater than greater happiness than this. Because of that, he threw this stone. He gave away just like that to me. So he came to that conclusion and he wanted to know what is the real happiness, or beyond this, what is there.
Very good. Thank you. All your comments are well taken. I'll end with this. There is a beautiful pastimes of a blind parent's only son fell in love with rich man's daughter. What got to do with this? Because today is the talk about money, attachment goes to hell, they suffer. But as Radha Govinda Maharaj said many years back, he said, devotees are also taking things from the material world. Not necessarily every person joy and immediately become full Krishna conscious. They have their material desire they're trying to fulfill. But difference is, like a thief goes in the house of a rich man, but he figures out how to escape from the, in case if he get caught or something happened, he figures out how to get out before he gets in. And the karmis, they get in, but they don't know how to come out, so they suffer. I thought it was like a very hilarious, the way Maharaj said it. You know, it was like many years back, probably 20 years back. So I thought about it. And this is a beautiful story of Lord Shiva. Shiva's follower, a typical village boy whose parents were blind. And maybe I can just close this and tell you the story. So his parents were blind and he was taking care of his parents. And he was so much busy of taking care of his parents because they're blind. He has to bathe them. He has to cook for them. He has to do everything. And then he wants to go to school because he doesn't want to stay poverty stricken like this, begging for food. And he could not keep up school and this, that. He grew up as a young man. And the richest man's daughter happened to be walking by one day. And instantly fell in love, or he fell that way. And he got so overwhelmed. One good thing was, he thought of going to Hare Krishna temple and talk to these Hare Krishna people. The benefit of Hare Krishna people, that they are aware of the material world, they are aware of the spiritual world, they are aware of the purpose of life. So their instruction can ultimately benefit spiritual and immediately maybe material also. So then what happened, he was confronting to a Hare Krishna devotee that, what should I do? He said, well, you can worship Shiva. Tomorrow is Shivaratri. And do big deal. So he did. And Lord Shiva actually appeared. He said, wait. He was shocked. He said, my Lord, you really real. You are real. But I believe those Hare Krishna devotees, what would they say to worship you? And he said, my desire will be fulfilled. He said, yes, yes. Whenever Hare Krishna's sincere devotee says something, it's all true. So I'll fulfill your desire. But wait, before you ask what you want, I have to let you know that I will give you only one boon, not two or three. Now, why Lord Shiva said this? And because the boy, child of the blind parents, he was thinking, I want my parents to see the world. They're suffering and they can take care of themselves if they can have their eyes back. I also want to be rich. So our poverty will be going away. And then he thought, I want to marry this rich girl's daughter. Now he has a material desire, but he has one good quality that he hangs around with Bhakti Japa Sangha group. No, I'm just kidding. It is a Bhakti Japa Sangha group in a sense that he was going to Hare Krishna temple. So Lord Shiva says one, but in his mind, any one of you catching how many desire he has, he wants to be get fulfilled? Anyone? Three. Very good. Three desire he wants to get fulfilled. But Lord Shiva said one. So he told the Lord Shiva, please give me a day. Can I ask that boon tomorrow? Lord Shiva says, Tathastu, be it. So he went back to the Hare Krishna devotee and he was talking to the Hare Krishna devotee. And at that time, he told what happened. The Lord Shiva appeared. And this devotee, Hare Krishna devotees, they are generally very genius. They may not exhibit materially, but generally whoever chant Hare Krishna and sincere hearing Bhagavad Gita, they are generally very, very intelligent, most intelligent person in the world. So then that devotee told him, no problem. He agreed one boon. Good. You go and ask for that boon. So he went and he started worshipping Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva said he will appear again. So he appeared. Lord Shiva said, are you ready for one boon, not two or three? One boon. He said, yes, my Lord. Would anybody interested to know what boon he asked for? Or you figured it out? He needed all these three problems. And Lord Shiva said he will only solve one problem, not all or many. This is where the value of the sadhu's advice. So the sadhu told him, you ask the Lord Shiva, please give me that boon that my parents can see their grandchild eating on a golden plate in the palace. Now, please tell me, did you get the story? And anyone?
Because he got this boon done because he wanted to be a grandson. That means he would get married. And he wanted to get his parents' eyes. That also he got. And he fulfilled the desire. He will get married also. Three things.
He got married to the particular girl. Very good. Thank you, Prabhu. To that girl, the richest man's daughter. And for parents to see means their eye has to be back. That's true. And seeing the grandchild eating on a golden plate in a palace. That means the richness or all the opulence has to be there too. So this is how devotee lead their life. But then Lord Shiva told him, hang around with the devotees and chant Krishna's name, you will get one more boon. And that's how Lord Shiva is pleased when we chant Hare Krishna and hear Bhagavatam. So it is not the money that will take us to hell. It is the wrong way attachment to the money will take us to the hell. So this is the summary substance of today's verse.
Super Prabhu.
Thank you. Any takeaway from anyone?
So many takeaways, Prabhu. You solved so many things. Really wonderful, Prabhu. We are indebted to you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. You are so kind. I like your inspiration. You must be inspiring millions of people. I hope you keep on doing that. It will be wonderful.
We need a Sangha. We need a Sangha. And your Sangha will make change our rand. That's all.
Because Bhagavatam is not the word. It is not the verbalization. It says education that causes transformation. This is what's happening to everybody's life. Whether you are aware or not, you will be witnessing that you become a different person the more you hear Bhagavatam. Your craving to the material world disappears. So what happened? I used to love, enjoy those things. I lost the taste of it. What happened? This is what hearing Bhagavatam in Bhakti Japa Sangha group. So watch out. You lose the taste of material world and you will be attracted to spiritual world. Okay. I end here. Hare Krishna, Mother Radha.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Anybody have any questions? Please go ahead.
I have one thought that I wanted to say. I wanted to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day here in America. We're celebrating that, you know.
Yeah.
So, how glorious is Srila Prabhupada. Happy Father's Day to him. You know, his father, his father's father. And I'd like to thank him very much for allowing me to become engraced in this wonderful science of Krishna consciousness. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Very Hari Bol.
Thank you. Jai Prabhupada.
Gauranga. Nityananda.
Jai.
Jai.
Prabhuji, one question I want to ask. That the slide that I read.
Yes, Prabhuji.
There were three words. Shraddha. And another one was Ghananti. What is that word, Prabhu? Can you explain that word, please, Prabhu?
Sinnanti. First is Sadhaya Nittam Grinantas Chestitam Kalena Nati Dirgana Bhagavan Vishateridi. Sinnata means we have to hear with a rapt attention, but daily. You have to hear Bhagavatam daily. So with faith and daily. And Grinantasya means you have to contemplate. Accepting means you have to contemplate. You know, how do you accept? Like for an example, like you want to offer to Krishna. Okay. But then they put a little note. Hey, offer it without taking anything back. Oh. Because when you accept means you're going to follow it. Accept means you are aware what you are taking and you're going to follow it. That is acceptance. Now, if you say, well, I didn't comprehend, then you're not accepting. The word apandasa, you know, apandasa or grinantasya means you accepting means you are ready. I am responsible. I have a responsibility now. I'm going to act this way. Whether I like or not like, my mind likes or not like, I am going to behave properly. I'm going to really represent Prabhupada. I'm going to really be a nice servant of the devotee. This is accepting, means responsibility. This is Grinantasya. If we do three things, definitely Bhagavan will be there. No more Paramatma.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. What is that verse, Prabhu? 3.25.25, right, Prabhu?
That's the first part. What kind of faith? Satam prasangat mama bhicha sangida.
Okay.
But you're talking about that how Bhagavan will enter. In that case, you have to go to the verse that second canto, I guess 8th chapter. Sinnata saddaya nitta grihantasya sasyashtitam. Kalena nati dirigana. You can put in a database. You can find it probably very quick.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sinnata saddaya nittam. Grihantasya sasyashtitam. Kalena nati dirigana Bhagavan Vishatiri. Okay.
Thank you,
Prabhu. Somebody has raised hand, but it's 9 o'clock also. We have another. What do you do, Mother Radha? You are our in charge.
Yes, Prabhuji. Only one Mataji. Mataji, Jyoti Mataji, you can go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. It's a quick question. I just want to know the difference between the affection and the attachment that you were talking. You were giving your teachings. At that time, you mentioned affection and attachment. I want to know the difference between them.
Affection is a responsibility at the soul level. Attachment actually only belongs to Krishna. Maya Ashakta Mana Partha. Krishna says Ashakta. For an example, if you focus on Vidura's life with Dhritarashtra, he had an affection for Dhritarashtra as a brother. But he had no attachment. And this is such a fine line that Vidura did not join the party of war. He didn't want to be part of the war because he did not want to go against the Dhritarashtra's children. He knows that this will be a problem because he saw Dhritarashtra, they need help. Mother Gandhari, they need help. But he tried to help them. It did not work. But some or other, when you see maybe not in your life, but somebody that you try to make them devotee, try to make her or him or children or parents.